Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Brian Scalbrini joining us on the show this morning. Brian, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. When's the last time you've seen a dunk for a game winner?
I was like a wide open dunk. I was going to ask you the same question to start off the interview.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not kidding you.
If you're Atlanta Hawks, you wake up. If you're the coach, you got to be thinking, how do we give up a dunk? Like, you know, we've seen tough shots, step backs, all that. Stevens drove in this wide open dunk. I couldn't believe it.
Is that the worst way to lose a game?
It's got to be. Especially when the game could have went either way. It was back and forth. And then all of a sudden, you know, just a defensive breakdown, a mental lapse, just a wide open dunk right down the middle of the lane. No one at the rim challenging. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that.
The only thing I can explain is because we played the call and Lima brought this up. Anthony, you brought this up, like the play-by-play guy, John Michael, was basically telling everybody who Lamar Stevens was. So I don't know, like maybe the defense didn't know who the hell he was, and they just didn't think about him, and he was wide open for a dunk.
Yeah, I was shocked I saw that, but it's good for, you know, I don't know what's been going on with the Cavs lately. I know that they started the year out, and they had some great guard play, but you know, their slide right now. Maybe there's a little bit of drama with the Andre Drummond thing, which is a kind of a wacky thing to begin with. But you know, you get Jared Allen, and Jared Allen's been playing really, really good for them. I would have thought that he would help turn around and get some wins for the Cavs. But I really can't explain their struggles lately.
On a side note, we saw this with the Pelicans game against the Celtics over the weekend, and now yesterday, two big stoppages down the stretch of what otherwise was an entertaining game. We know replay mm-hmm. has kind of plagued all three major sports in different ways. How would you like to see this going forward in the NBA? Because that was a fun game last night, and there were two big stoppages to end this game in the final minute and a half.
I'm not a fan. I'd rather the game just unfold, and if the officials make a mistake, they make a mistake. And one thing I didn't mind at the beginning was the replays and seeing who the ball is out of bounds on. But we all know, like we all play basketball, when you know, like you're going up for a rebound, and I come over the top and I try to knock it out of your hands, and it, you know, the last second it goes off of you, but I'm the one that made that hit. You know, like, typically that's just going the other way, and I'd rather see that. I think it's bad to watch. You're right about the Pelicans-Celtics game. I hate the replays. I think what we've noticed is we're in the bubble. We were looking at flagrant fouls over and over and over again. Now we're looking at who the ball goes out of bounds on, you know, like coaches challenging, you know, calls down the stretch. I'm not a big fan of any of it. I'd rather just see officials, especially to me during the regular season. If you want to implement that for the playoffs, then I'm actually all for it. But during the regular season, let's just play these games out and see how they unfold. It's a better viewing experience. Another thing I'm not a fan of is the 5-minute overtime. I don't understand why you play 5 minutes. Why not go to 7, or like with the Elam ending or something like that? Why do you have to play 5 minutes. Like, I know it's and everyone's concerned about their players playing a lot of minutes and all that stuff. Well, why don't they make that rule change? I don't know who would be opposed to that.
Well, I might as well ask you because we saw it last year at the All-Star game and there's discussion about it happening this year. You see it in the basketball tournament over the summer. The Elam ending, you know, it takes away from the theatrics of like what you saw with Luka last night, who buries the step-back footer from about 30 feet. But you still have really good basketball down the stretch and it's not plagued by intentional fouls. What would you think of something like that in an overtime period?
Oh, I'm all for it. Overtime, I'm all for it. I wouldn't do it for the normal game. I don't think that's – I think that's, like, too dynamic. All of a sudden the game ends and you play to a certain number, but absolutely. Another thing is why have a break? Like, game ends, you know, zero's on the clock. Just, you know, you take 30-second timeout.
I love it. Love it.
Game to seven. Because, you know, like, let's say – let's use the Luka, for example. Let's say Luka made a three-pointer to tie the game. Crowd, you know, typically crowd would be going nuts. You know, a little 30-second timeout for the guys, and then boom, ball goes up, and you know, it's a game to seven. I just think it's and in a way, I do think you should win by two. There should be, you know, like, it's not, you can't just like, if you can't just win by one. I think there's a little bit of strategy involved in that. Yeah, I think the NBA could make that change and. I think it'll be a good change.
I actually think that might be fun. Brian Scalabrine joining us on the show. What's the longest losing streak you were ever part of as a player?
18 with the Celtics the year before. Ooh. We got Kevin Garnett. Yeah, yeah, that was tough. Yeah, and you know, we had very similar to your team. We had Paul Pierce, but we had young guys, and Paul missed a bunch of games during that stretch, and we just like, you know, young guys. It's like this. It's young guys who their ceilings are role players. And but when you're in a situation where there is no star, there is no superstar, those guys become like the best player. Now, their ceiling is just being a role player, but in those they have to score the load. And they can do that for the first quarter. They can probably even do that the third quarter. The problem is two things. When a run happens and a team is on like an 8-0 run, you know, superstars can stop those by themselves by getting a bucket, by getting, you know, things back on track. Like young players who don't have high ceilings, the wheels just absolutely fall off. Like, coaches have to call timeouts, and, you know, sometimes coaches run out of timeouts in those situations. So I was a part of a team like that. You know, luckily for us, Minnesota wanted all those role players, and we got Kevin Garnett.
Brian Scalabrine joining us here this morning. So you just mentioned what goes through when you get that win after a long losing streak like that. How do you go about the business of compounding it and getting another win? Because they got Houston tonight, and Houston, you know, just let DeMarcus Cousins walk, and boy, they seem to be in a bad spot. There might be a possibility of two in a row, dare I say?
Yeah, I mean, it could be. The biggest thing when the biggest thing for, like, I would just look at the Cavs, right? I like the Cavs. I like the way that they defended at the beginning of the year. I love Colin Sexton. I like the way he brings it every single game. I think as this season goes along, and when you're losing, you have to find what is your recipe for success, and everyone has it, and it might not be someone else's. Is it Colin Sexton, Jared Allen, two-man game over and over and over again? Is it playing faster? Is it getting to the paint, driving, kicking? You ever watch Utah play right now? All they do is drive and kick. You know, they used to run this complex offense, and they found their recipe for success. So for the Cavs, they got to find out what that is. And if it's running through Colin Sexton, then that's what it is. If it's playing fast because they have a lot of guards, and that's what it is. But I think for them, if they have to find their identity, and that's what I'd be looking for. You know, I guess Atlanta, but we just, like, the Celtics, who will play Atlanta tonight, and we just played Atlanta, they don't defend. So, like, in one of those games, you just got to make sure you get some stops down the stretch if you're going to be in a game like that. But they have to be able to find their identity against a team that's, like, Houston, they're a little bit better. They have, like, some tough guys out there. So what is their recipe for success against Houston tonight?
All right, we know Kevin Love is going to be coming back very soon for the Cavaliers, and this has been kind of a weird pivot point for the organization because, you know, partially you're thinking about the draft and all those things, but now you're getting Kevin Love back into the lineup. And yeah, primarily someone like me, I'd love to showcase him and trade him. That's not going to happen before this year's deadline. And I don't even know how much another team's going to give up for him. So how do you incorporate Kevin Love into your franchise knowing he's probably going to be here for a while?
Well, that's an easy one because you want him to, you know, he should open up the floor for your great guard play. He has to find a way to make those guards better. And in Boston, we had Al Horford, and he did that with Isaiah Thomas, with Kyrie Irving. He did that with Kemba Walker. So that's what you have to do with a guy like Kevin Love. Kevin, you know, he'll provide spacing. He'll knock down shots. You don't have to feature him, and I don't think any team is going to buy that. Like, hey, we're featuring Kevin Love. All of a sudden, he's going to be the guy that helps you get over the hump. No, it's not that. It's just, like, provide spacing for guys like Colin Sexton, for Garland. Like, that would be his role right now, which he could end up having still big nights and big rebounding nights. But the biggest thing is when you have guards that are trying to develop, space is what they need to work.
What'd you think of the All-Star selection?
So Sabonis to me was the biggest snub. I get the players, like every player in the NBA was tweeting out Devin Booker didn't make it. I think the coach strategically did that by saying we're going to put Anthony Davis on the All-Star team, knowing that he's not going to play. So he gets a nod or a feather in his cap and is listed as a, I don't know, 12-time All-Star, 13-time All-Star, whatever he ends up being. And then he'll be taken away, and then the commissioner will come in and select Devin Booker. So I know the players were super offended by Devin Booker not making it. I think the coaches did that on purpose by picking Anthony Davis, but I don't understand. And I like Vucevic a lot. I don't understand the Vucevic over the Sabonis one. Sabonis is a stud. I don't understand how coaches miss that one, but maybe they're seeing something I'm not seeing. How'd you guys see it?
I think coaches get tunnel vision when they make these decisions.
Yeah, I just like you guys. I'm like incredibly impressed by watching Sabonis night in and night out. I think he plays hard, he passes, he rebounds, he impacts winning. Not to say Vucevic is a bad player. I'm not saying he's a bad player, but I mean they win. Indiana's a much better team than Orlando, so I was like surprised by that one. But outside of that, I thought they were pretty solid.
I basically felt – Lima, you got anything to add there?
Well, it was 24, yeah, 24 and 12, so the stats kind of pop out. And Orlando's been a disaster this year in terms of, you know, injuries, some COVID cases. So I don't know. But I'm with you. I mean, Sabonis is the guy who's got a ceiling there. We know what Vucevic is. He's 30 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just surprised just because the coaches typically, when they vote, they're voting for winning. It was a big deal for them. They like last year, they let Brad Beal off the All-Star team because his team wouldn't yep. win. Yep. This team didn't win. So, like, the coaches now are inconsistent. I'm taking away the fan vote. Like, the idea that Trae Young didn't get picked on the team because I thought the coaches were about winning. Well, if you're about winning, how do you not pick Sabonis? So, like, I don't even know what the criteria is anymore. But And I would also think that with Sabonis and his passing ability, you would think this guy's a stud. But I get it. Like, Vucevic is a good player. I think Sabonis is deserving of being an All-Star.
Brian, we thank you for the time, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. See ya.
Brian Scalabrine, Insider Calls, presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sportsbooks don't want you to see. Be smarter, bet smarter, and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Coming up next, Big Ben is coming back for another season. It may very well be time for Browns fans to celebrate already. It's Ken Carman with Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.